الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. This evening we discuss the issues related to the particular work that we are studying بإذن الله تعالى, and likewise the biography of the original author, and that is the biography of Al-Hafidh An-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala. So we begin with the title of the book. The title of the book, as we see, Adabu Ad-Daris Wal-Mudarris. Adabu Ad-Daris Wal-Mudarris. Adab meaning the manners and the etiquettes. The manners and the etiquettes of Ad-Daris. Ad-Daris yani Al-Talib or Al-Mutallim. Al-Mutallim, the student. Wal-Mudarris. And likewise the manners of Al-Mudarris, which is the Shaykh, or he is the Mu'allim, or the Ustaz. So this is a book with regards to the manners of the student and the teacher. The student and the teacher. And this particular work originally was from the work of An-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala. And he had explained one of the great works of the Shafi'i madhab in the fiqh, in the Islamic jurisprudence. And that book is known as Al-Muhadhab by Ash-Shirazi rahimahullah ta'ala. He died in the year 476. The book Al-Muhadhab is about Islamic jurisprudence and rulings with regards to Tahara and Salah and the likes like this until the end of the chapters of Al-Fiqh, specifically with regards to the madhab of Al-Imam Al-Shafi'i. Al-Hafidh An-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala, he explained this work. In his explanation of this particular work here, he had written an introduction and the explanation of An-Nawawi for the work of Ash-Shirazi Al-Muhadhab. He had written a particular introduction, and it is very beneficial. An introduction in his sharh, and the work by An-Nawawi is called Al-Majmu' Al-Majmu' fi sharh Al-Muhadhab. And in the introduction, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned a number of affairs and a number of chapters with regards to knowledge and the virtue of knowledge, and with regards to the obligation of having sincerity and truthfulness in seeking knowledge, and likewise with regards to the obligation of having the intention present while learning and studying, and that a person, he will be focused and seeking the pleasure of Allah, and likewise clarifying that busying oneself with knowledge is from the best and most virtuous actions and deeds, and that after establishing the obligations, then the most virtuous deed is to seek knowledge, to study and to learn, and to increase in understanding in the religion of Allah Azza wa Jal. All of these chapters are mentioned here, and likewise chapters as well mentioned in the beginning, in the Muqaddimah. Chapters mentioned about the blame and the foul way of the one who seeks knowledge in order to have status and rank in this life, and he's not sincere. All of these are from the chapters that are mentioned in the Muqaddimah of Al-Majmu' from the work of An-Nawawi. Likewise, in that chapter, he has chapters with regards to the division or the types of legislative knowledge, clarifying the different types of legislative knowledge with regards to the ruling. And also, he has a chapter entitled Adabu Al-Mu'allim wa Adabu Al-Mut'allim. And the author here, which is Muhammad Jamal al-Din al-Qasimi, rahimahullah ta'ala, he had come to this work. And he had come to this portion of this work. And he had come to the work of An-Nawawi, Al-Majmu' and to the Muqaddimah, and specifically to the chapters in the Muqaddimah, Adab Al-Mu'allim Wal-Mut'allim. Adab Al-Mu'allim wa Adab Al-Mut'allim. And An-Nawawi has a fasal like this, Bab, Adab Al-Mu'allim. And then after some pages, he has another chapter, Adab Al-Mut'allim. And like this, in this manner. So the author here, who is authoring this work, Adab Ad-Daris wa Mudarris, his name is Muhammad Jamal al-Din al-Qasimi. He's from the scholars of Hisham. He died in the year 1332. rahimahullahu ta'ala. So he came to this work here and he summarized these portions and made this very brief and concise treatise, and then entitled it Adab al-Daris wal Mudarris. So the actual words and the benefits that are found here, they're from the words of An-Nawawi. And that which al-Qasimi he has with regards to this work is simply that he went to that work and he selected these particular chapters in order to clarify these affairs, and in order to bring this issue into light and to make it easy to obtain this affair. But in general, all of the words here are from the words of An-Nawawi in this book. Although you will find that Al-Qasimi rahimahullah, sometimes he'll change specific words or particular words, even though it's rarely, but he will change some of their words for the context and the likes like this. But in general, the work that we're studying is actually the work of An-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala, from the introduction, from the muqaddimah of Al-Majmu'. From the muqaddimah of Al-Majmu'. So Al-Qasimi, he summarized this affair, or he made Al-Iqtisar. It's called an abridgment. And this is also from the methodologies of authoring works. Sometimes the people of knowledge, they will author a written work. Other times they will author works about knowledge in poetry form. Other times they will go to the work of previous scholars and they will summarize that. Or other times they'll go to work of previous scholars and they will explain that. And other times they'll go to the works of the previous scholars and they will make additions or subtractions and the likes like this. So from the different methodologies of authoring works is al-ikhtisar. Al-ikhtisar. And whenever one of the people of knowledge, they will do this, they will go to that original work and they will select a portion of that and they will summarize it, keeping the points that they want to keep from the original work, making it concise and making it shorter. So if we were to study the whole work of Al-Muqaddimah, then this is a rather large portion. Even the chapters here that are summarized are rather large and long. So what he has now is summarized that and taken the best of that and facilitated that and made it easy. So this is also from the aspects of authoring work, at ta'lif wa tasnif, the reasons why the people of knowledge, they would author works for the methodologies that they would follow and the likes like this. So again, the words and the benefits here are from Al-Hafiz An-Nawawi rahimahullahu ta'ala. This particular muqaddimah has been explained by entirety, has it been explained by Shaykh Uthaymeen rahimahullahu ta'ala, the muqaddimah of Al-Majmu'. Shaykh Uthaymeen rahimahullahu ta'ala, he has an explanation, a commentary upon that. And likewise, this particular text here, Adab al-Daris wal Mudarris, this particular summarized portion here, likewise has been explained by Shaykh Abdullah al-Fawzan, hafidhullahu ta'ala, and it is very beneficial. And both of these works, they are found, they can be found printed. The origin of the work of Shaykh Abdullah al-Fawzan were in 6 or 7 audios, lessons that he taught in Al-Kuwait, and then recently it has been transformed to book form. So to benefit from the likes of these explanations, and other than that, from the books that have been mentioned in the previous class as well, and to find the clarification and the benefits related to these affairs with regards to the knowledge of the manners and etiquettes of knowledge, the knowledge of the manners and etiquettes of knowledge and the people of knowledge. From the benefits that Shaykh Abdullah Fawzan he mentioned in his explanation is the fact that he changed the name. If we were to look into the muqaddimah of An-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala, his chapters are titled Adab al-Muta'allim wa Adab al-Mu'allim. And he used these words, al-Mu'allim wal-Muta'allim. And they have the same meaning. The Mu'allim, he's the Mudarris. And the Muta'allim, he's the Daris. He's the Daris. So these words are considered synonyms. So we have the word Ad-Daris, wa Talib al-Ilm. You say, darasa yadrusu dirasatan. And then for mudarris, you say darrasa yudarrisu tadrisan. Was similar like that? Ta'allama. Ta'allama yata'allamu ta'alluman. And then also allamahu yu'allimuhu ta'aliman. Ta'aliman. So these words, they're synonyms. But in our day now, and Allah knows best, likewise in the day of Al-Qasimi, he died in the year 1332, which was about 100 years ago, approximately, correct? 1332, today is 1444. Allah knows best. Likewise, in his era as well, in our era, the word dirasa is used mainly to refer to organized studies inside schools and universities. A dirasa nizamiya, الدراسة النظامية. So organized studies, although is included. الدراسة يعني is included. دراسة في المساجد ودراسة في المعاهد and the likes like this. But also whenever we use the word دراسة, especially in our days now in this era, it's referring to دراسة في المدارس والجامعات. الدراسة studying inside the schools, and in the universities. So it's beneficial to use this term here to include both affairs, because no doubt the one who is studying in the masajid and teaching in the masajid, he has to have the manners of knowledge and the people of knowledge. But likewise as well, even if a person he was studying in the organized facilities of study, like in the schools or in the universities, studying the Islamic knowledge and the likes like this, he's in need. He's in need of these manners as well. And so is the one who is teaching in the likes of those places. So these manners will be included in this affair. Whether a person is seeking the legislative knowledge in the masajid, which is the asl, and which is the foundation, or whether he's seeking this legislative knowledge in the schools or in the universities, for example, like the University of Al-Madinah, and the likes like this, may Allah preserve it, then all of these manners here, they are included and intended, they need to be applied and understood in the likes of these gatherings. So choosing this name is very suitable and very beneficial. So the fact that the foundation of this work, or the base of this work, is from Al-Hafidh al-Nawawi, and the fact that he is from the great scholars of Al-Islam, and he's well known to all of us and to all of the Muslims, alhamdulillah, then we will take his biography in a concise and brief manner, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. A number of people of knowledge have written biographies with regards to him. From them, Al-Hafidh al-Dhahabi, rahimahullah, he has a work called Tathkiratul Hufadh. Tathkiratul Hufadh. And in this particular work, he has a biography of An-Nawawi. And likewise, in the great work by Ibn Kathir, known as Al-Bidayah wa Nihayah, the beginning and the end, he also has a biography of An-Nawawi. And also, Sakhawi has a biography of An-Nawawi. And other than that, from the people of knowledge. But the benefits here, the majority of that is summarized from what is mentioned by Al-Dhahabi and Tadhkirat Al-Hufadh, and likewise by Ibn Kathir from his work Al-Bidayah wa Nihayah. So An-Nawawi rahimahullah, he is a Shaykh al-Hafidh, Muhyiddin Abu Zakariya Yahya ibn Sharaf al-Nawawi. Both of them, or rather all of the scholars, they'll mention a long lineage, but we summarize it to make it easy and facilitated for our lessons. A Shaykh al-Hafidh Muhyiddin Abu Zakariya Yahya ibn Sharaf al-Nawawi. ويقالوا النواوي. النووي والنواوي. النسبة إلى النوى, which is a village. Which is a village in Syria. So he is Shaykh al-Hafidh Muhyiddin Abu Zakariya Yahya ibn Sharaf al-Nawawi. ويقالوا النواوي. ثم الدمشقي الشافعي الألامة. Shaykh al-Madhab, Kabir al-Fuqaha fi zamanihi. That he is the Shaykh and he is the Hafidh, meaning he is one of those people that is known for memorizing a great portion of the narrations and the men of the narrations and the narrators, and understanding that in a proper manner, he's considered a Hafidh. And his laqab is Muhyiddin, and his kunya is Abu Zakariya, and his name is Yahya ibn Sharaf, and his description is An-Nawawi. And it's also mentioned An-Nawawi. Then he was from Nawa, and then he moved to Dimashq. So he's also called Dimashqi. Al-Shafi'i, meaning he was from the great scholars of the Shafi'i Madhab. But he was not blind following them entirely. Walhamdulillah. Al-Alama Shaykh al-Madhab. It's mentioned that Shaykh al-Madhab, meaning Shaykh al-Madhab, Al-Shafi'i. Kabir al-Fuqaha fi zamanihi. And he was from the greatest of the scholars of jurisprudence in his time. Rahimahullahu ta'ala. Now we have Mawliduhu, and his place of birth. He was born in Nawa in the year 631. وهي قريةٌ من قرى حوران في سوريا. And this is a village from the village of a place called Huran in Syria. And he came with his father to Dimashq in the year 649. He was born in 631 and he came to Dimashq, leaving Nawa with his father. Rahimahum Allah, in the year 649. How old was he? 631. He came in the year 649. Huh?
800.
Approximately, huh? 631 to 649. How many years is that? 31 to 41. That's 10. 18 years approximately. Now, and by this time, he had already memorized the whole Quran. By this time, he already memorized the whole Quran. And whenever he came there with his father, he came there with the intention to seek knowledge. And he was placed in one of the madaris that is in Suri. That was well known in Dimashq. And he came there for studies. And now his talabuhu lil ilm. And he's seeking knowledge. Qala dhahabi fi tathkiratul hufaz. Dhahabi, he mentioned, rahimahullah, fadhakara shaykhuna Abu al-Hasan ibn al-Attar. أن الشيخ محي الدين ذكر له أنه كان يقرأ كل يوم 12 درسا على مشايخه شرحا وتصحيحا ذهب به مشن رحمه الله تعالى ذات الشيخ أبو الحسن ابن العطار ابن العطار رحمه الله تعالى. He's from the great students of النووي, and he was also from the teachers of الذهبي. He's mentioning now الذهبي, that ابن العطار. He mentioned about النووي رحمه الله تعالى that he said that he used to study in one day 12 classes on his teachers. And one day, كَانَ يَقْرَأُ كُلَّ يَوْمٍ 12 دَرْسًا عَلَى مَشَيِّخِهِ. That every single day, he would read 12 different lessons on his scholars. شَرْحًا وَتَصْحِيحًا. يعني as an explanation and also in correcting يعني the reading and the understanding and the likes like this. So he would study in one day 12 different lessons. He says, Darsaini fil Wasit, two lessons in Al-Wasit. Al-Wasit is a book by Al-Ghazali about the madhab of Al-Shafi'i likewise. Two darses in Fiqh Al-Shafi'i. Wa dars fil Muhadhab. And one dars in the Muhadhab. That's the book that he made the explanation from. This is an even bigger work of Fiqh in the Shafi'i madhab. And likewise, one dars fil Jam'i bayna Sahihain. One lesson he would have in a book where the author, he would gather between the Sahihain. And whenever in one book, there will be, the author will go there and he will collect all the narrations that are in the Bukhari Muslim like this and put them all together in one work. In one work. There's a number of works like this from the most famous of them, Al-Humaydi, Jama' Bayn al-Sahihain, Al-Humaydi, and likewise Al-Ishbili. It doesn't mention which one it was here, but he had a dars like this. Likewise, and he had another dars in Sahih Muslim, and another dars in the book called Al-Lama by Ibn Jinni. Ibn Jinni, he was a scholar of the Arabic language. So this was a lesson with regards to the Arabic language. Wa darsan fi islah al-mantiq, and likewise a lesson with regards to rectifying the speech, yani the pronunciation. Wa dars with regards to tasrif, and dars with regards to Arabic morphology, and a dars with regards to usul al-fiqh. And a dars with regards to Asma' al-Rijan, and a dars with regards to Usul al-Din. So in one day, he had 12 lessons on these different scholars in different subjects. In one day. This is clarifying the diligence that he had. And in one day, he's studying two books of fiqh. One of them is al-Wasit, and the other one is al-Muhadhab. And then also in one day, he's studying Sahih Muslim, getting the explanation of that. And then he's studying another book where the Sahih Muslim and Sahih Bukhari is all gathered together. And then he's also studying the sciences of the Arabic language, and also studying sarf and morphology, and also studying usul al-fiqh, and also usul al-din, which is aqidah, which is creed. So he's studying all of these affairs in one day. قال النووي رحمه الله وكنت أعلق جميع ما يتعلق بها من شرح مشكير ووضوح العبارة وضبط لغة وبارك الله تعالى في وقتي. He said, in all of these classes, I used to write notes and commentary with regards to the explanation or clarifying the words or the issues that were unclear, or with regards to mentioning the reading properly. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He put blessing in my time. Ibn al-Attar, rahimahullah ta'ala, he died in the year 724. He was from the great scholars and students of An-Nawawi, rahimahullah ta'ala. He has works likewise, and from his works is works clarifying the proper creed and belief, meaning that Ibn al-Attar, he was upon the creed of Ahl Sunnati wal Jama'ah. Walhamdulillah. So he says, ذكر لي شيخنا رحمه الله تعالى أنه كان لا يضيع وقتا لا في ليل ولا في النهار إلا في اشتغال حتى في الطرق وأنه دام على هذا ست سنين وأنه دام على هذا ست سنين ثم أخذ في التصنيف والإفادة وَالنَّصِيحَةِ وَقَوْلِ الْحَقِّ. So he says now that our sheikh, he said to me that I never wasted any of my time ever. Meaning a Nawawi, this is what he's telling his student. Rahimahumullah, I never wasted any of my time ever, not in the nighttime and not in the daytime, except I was busy with knowledge. Even whenever I was in the pathways, and I continued upon this way for 6 years. And I continued upon this way for 6 years. This is in reference to those 12 classes. 12 classes a day like this, approximately 6 years. This is how he continued. This is how he continued, rahimahullahu ta'ala. It mentioned that he slept rarely, and it mentioned that he ate few. Yani he's known for this. He was known for this. He was known for eating very little and drinking very little and fasting a lot. Rahimahullah ta'ala. But in this particular period for 6 years, this is how he continued. Until after 6 years, and then he began to author works. And then he began to author works and to benefit the people and to give sincere advice. And likewise to stand firm and say the truth, yani, to the people. Meaning it was likewise known for advising yani, the people in general, and likewise advising the rulers. And he was known, he would write letters to the rulers. And even it's mentioned in his biography likewise that one time he wrote a letter to one of the particular rulers and the affair didn't seem to change. So he went there by himself. And he went to the ruler by himself and he spoke to him directly. So he was not afraid. He was not afraid of the blame of the blamers. Rahimahullah ta'ala. And he was not afraid any of the people. So this was his case here. We take advantage of this. He didn't waste any of his time. Not in the nighttime and not in the daytime. Not even whenever he's in the pathways. Not even whenever he's in the pathways. Not whenever he's going about his day. And we know that sometimes a person has to go about his day. And there's some things that a person he has to do and he can't avoid that. But while doing those things, many times there's pockets of time a person can benefit from. From the likes of this, mentioning in the pathways. And it's been mentioned about Shaykh Ibn Baz, rahimahullah ta'ala, that he memorized the Alfiyah of Al-Iraqi, which is 1,000 lines of poetry about Mustalah Hadith, from the most famous works of the science of Hadith terminology. And the likes like this, 1,000 lines of poetry, when did he memorize that? Rahimahullah, it's mentioned that he memorized that in the times of making wudu. That there was a student that his time to meet the shaykh was whenever he's making wudu. And he would make wudu, and while he's making wudu, the student would read to him and he would memorize it in that manner. So he memorized 1,000 lines of poetry in the times of making wudu. So it's something that you have to do. You have to make wudu. But he didn't let that go by without any benefit. Rather, there is a student reading to him while he's making wudu. Rahimahullah ta'ala, until the extent that he memorized the likes of this great poem and this great beneficial work about the science of hadith, and he ended this time while he's making wudu. Likewise, it's been mentioned about some of the students of knowledge in Al-Madinah that one of them he would memorize. That one of him he would memorize great mutun, any long text, yani from the sciences of the religion while he's at stoplights. While he's at stoplights. This has been mentioned. And stories like this that we're aware of. That individuals, they would, whenever they come to stoplights, whenever the people are waiting for the stoplight to change, he would be memorizing. He would have a text with him. He would have a small book with him and he would be memorizing and memorizing and memorizing, taking advantage of this. And these are things for people who are driving and going about through their day. These are going to have to be stopping at the stoplight. So the likes of these people who are diligent, they're not going to neglect their time or waste their time or to use their time as something lesser. Rather, they're going to take advantage of their time and that which is most beneficial, and that is seeking knowledge and learning and memorizing and benefiting. They would benefit from these pockets of time. They would benefit from these pockets of time. Maybe somebody, barakallahu fikum, he has a job he has to go to. He has a job he has to go to. Maybe he'll be at his job for a period in the daytime. Maybe 8 hours a day, for example. But all throughout the day, he's not preoccupied with his job. Rather, there are certain times in his day whenever he's free. Whenever, 5 minutes here, 10 minutes there, 15 minutes here, 20 minutes there, and the likes like this. If a person was diligent and sincere with Allah Azza wa Jalla in seeking knowledge and striving to learn what is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he can take advantage of the likes of these times and find great benefit in his life. So even a person, he has to go to work. But even in that daytime, there are times that he can benefit from. And the one who is truthful and sincere with Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yubariku fi waqtihi. Like he said, what did he say? Fabarakallahu fi waqtihi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he put a blessing in his time. And this is for the one who is sincere and truthful, and the one who works hard. So how about somebody who is young, or somebody who is from the youth, who doesn't have a job, he doesn't have bills, he doesn't have obligations financially and the likes like this. He has plenty of free time. You should take advantage of that time and take advantage of that youth and take advantage of that mind and take advantage of his life and benefit from that and memorizing and learning knowledge, especially whenever one is young. Especially whenever one is young, benefiting from the crisp mind and the sharp memory. And that which is memorized at this time, many times it will be with you for the rest of your life. That which is memorized when someone is young, this many times this knowledge here, it will never go away. It will stay with a person, especially if it's from the beneficial knowledge of the religion. So this is something that he was known for, rahimahullah ta'ala. Likewise, it's mentioned here then, yani akhadha ala hadha sitta sinin, that he was in this manner striving like this for only 6 years. The people of knowledge, they mentioned that yani seeking knowledge in reality, yani takes a long time, and that a person, he shouldn't hasten and he shouldn't rush. But the point now that we want to benefit from is that if someone is sincere and they strive hard and they're diligent, especially with their time, and they have people to direct them and the likes like this, and to go in order to cut the path short so they don't fall into pitfalls or waste their time with that which is less important and the likes like this, then in a brief and short period they can gain a lot of knowledge. In a brief and short period, by the permission of Allah Azza wa Jalla, they can gain and obtain a lot of benefit and a lot of knowledge. And he was 6 years in this manner like this, and then after that he began authoring works, and after that he began teaching the people and benefiting in this manner like this. And many times a person, it would take him many years before he would reach that level. 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. There's no set time. And at least 4 or 5 years would be the minimum. But it would be up to 20, 30 years sometimes. The people of knowledge, they will continue to learn and to study and to build foundations in the religion and in knowledge before they begin teaching and before they begin authoring works. Ibn Mubarak, rahimahullah ta'ala, he died in year 181. He said, طَلَبْتُ الْأَدَبَ 20 سَنَةً ثُمَّ طَلَبْتُ الْعِلْمَ 20 سَنَةً. He said, I sought knowledge of manners and etiquettes for 20 years. And then after that, I sought knowledge, yani the religion and the rulings for 20 years. In this manner like this. So they would seek knowledge for a long period. Yani before they began teaching and the likes like this and sitting in front of the people. Yani this is in general. The point now is that a person, if he's sincere and he strives hard, he can shorten that path in a great manner. Another example of this, barakallahu fikum, is in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And there is a companion. There was one companion that is known as the Rawiyatul Islam. Rawiyatul al-Islam. He narrated more narrations than any other companion. Who knows his name? Abdurrahman ibn Sakhr, ahsant. Who knows his name? I didn't say his kunya. His name, Abdurrahman ibn Sakhr, ahsant. Barakallahu fikum. Kunya to who? Abu Hurayra, ahsant. You're right though. Jazakallah khair. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, Abdurrahman ibn Sakhr. He narrated more than 5,000 narrations. No one is close to him. And the closest to him would be in 2,000. He beat the rest of the companions by thousands in narrations. Radiallahu anhu wa sahabati ajma'in. When did Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu come to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? In the seventh year. In the battle of Khaybar. Abdurrahman ibn Sakhr, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he is a Dawsi. He's from the tribe of Daws in Yemen. So he did not come actually to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the seventh year of the Hijrah in the battle of Khaybar. So how many years did he spend with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What year did the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam die in? In the 11th year. So 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, four to five years, probably most likely around 4 years, radiallahu anhu, and he narrated more narrations than any other companion. And this is something that is well known, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that about him. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, من أسعد الناس بشفاعتك يوم القيامة. Who was the one who was most happy and delighted with your intercession on the day of resurrection? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, I didn't think anyone would ask that question before you. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, lima ra'aytu min hirsika ala al-hadith, from what I've seen from your diligence to learn the narrations. So this was his case, and he used to spend the night like this. The first half of the night he would spend studying and seeking knowledge and writing and reviewing, and then after that he would pray the night prayer, and then he would sleep. And this was from the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to pray the night prayer before he sleeps. And because it was known about him that he would spend the night reviewing narrations, So here we have Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. He only spent 4 to 5 years seeking knowledge, but he was diligent in that time. While the people, they're going through the markets, and while the people, they're going to their jobs, and while the people, they're seeking their worldly life, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he would suffice with that which would fill his belly. He would suffice with the food that was enough to take care of his needs, and he would stay along with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and learn from him directly in his gatherings and ask him in the likes like this and memorize his narrations until he became the greatest narrator in Al-Islam, radiallahu anhu. Like this, again, now we have Al-Hafidh al-Nawawi. He spent 6 years mentioning like this, but 6 years diligently, 6 years striving hard. So likewise, similar like this, for somebody, for example, who is blessed in our days. Maybe one of you will get accepted to the Islamic University in Medina, and the bachelor's program is 4 years. So, but if a person, he's sincere and he's truthful in those 4 years, and he takes advantage of his time, he can benefit greatly. Then if he's there even longer than that, then the benefit can be even greater and even greater and even greater. Or if a person, for example, he is only able to go overseas in a limited time, maybe for 1 year, he wants to go to Egypt for 1 year, or for 2 years, and the likes like this. Because if his circumstances, situation, he's not able to free himself up entirely. If he goes there and he's diligent and he strives hard and he's truthful with Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah will bless his effort and his time. And he can pass many people who have been there for much longer than him. And he can pass many people who have been there much longer than him. And this is a favor from Allah Azza wa Jal. So the point is now to be diligent in seeking knowledge at all times and to take advantage of that. And from the ways to do that is to make a schedule with one's life. To make a schedule with one's life and his day, and to find those pockets of time to benefit from them. Al-Dhahabi, he says, rahimahullah, yani along with these 6 years, he says, ma huwa alayhi min al-mujahada bi nafsihi wal amri bi daqa'iq al-wara' wal muraqaba وتصفية النفس من الشوائب ومحقها من أغراضها وكان حافظا الحديث وفنونه ورجاله وصحيحه وعليله رأسا في معرفة المذهب. So Al-Dhahabi, he mentioned along with that, those 6 years of studying these 12 lessons in this manner like this, and striving in this manner that has preceded, Al-Dhahabi rahimahullah, he comments along with what he was upon as well, along with that. And along with that, he was striving against his soul to apply the knowledge that he learned. And he was known for that. Striving to be pious and have fear of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and avoid the most detailed doubts and harmful affairs that could be possibly harmful in his religion. He would leave the likes of this, along with observing himself and observing the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and purifying his soul from the lowly desires and wanting a worldly position or a high gain and the likes like this. Any high gain or status in this life. And along with that, he was someone who memorized the narrations, hafidhan lil hadith. And remember, meaning that the person who reaches this title here, al hafidh, he's somebody who memorized more narrations than he knows more than he's ignorant of. If you look into the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that which he knows is more than that which he's ignorant of. This person is called al hafidh. If you look at the narrators of hadith, if you look at the hadith of the Prophet, the texts, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and likewise the understanding of the hadith, and the men and the rijal and the likes like this, his knowledge is more than his ignorance, and he knows more than he does not know. This person is called hafidh. If you gather all of the narrations and all of the men and the likes like this, his knowledge is greater than his ignorance in this affair. This is how you reach this level. He was like that. So he had memorized and understood the hadith, and likewise the science of hadith, and the narrators of hadith, and the authentic hadith, and the weak hadith. And he was ahead in understanding the madhab, and he a leader with regards to understanding the Shafi'i madhab specifically. But not only that, and even in that work at Majmu'ah, he will mention the narrations or the positions of the other madhahib as well. So he was well-rounded, rahimahullah ta'ala. Ibn Kathir, he says, وَقَدْ كَانَ مِنَ الزَّهَادَةِ وَالْعِبَادَةِ وَالْوَرَعِ وَالْتَحَرِّي وَالْإِنْجِمَاعِ أَنَّ النَّاسِ عَلَى جَانِبٍ كَبِيرٍ لَا يَقْدِرُ عَلَيْهِ أَحَدٌ مِنَ الْفُقَهَا غَيْرُهُ. That al-Nawawi, he was on a high status and level of al-Zahada, yani refraining from the worldly life and turning and devoting oneself to the hereafter entirely, and worship and piety and fear of Allah, and pursuing the correct path in the right way, and avoiding and staying away from the affairs of the people. And he was on a lofty and high level in these affairs that the rest of the fuqaha of his days were not able to catch up with. And he had preceded them. He had preceded them in piety and in religion. وَوَلِيَ مَشْيَخَةَ دَارُ الْحَدِيثَ الْأَشْرَفِيَّةِ. And he from the greatest schools of hadith that was in Dimashq in those days is Madrasa al-Ashrafiyya. This is what Ibn Hajar, he referred to whenever he's speaking about He's speaking about Ibn Salah in his great work of Mustalah Hadith, Nukhbat al-Fikr, yani referring to that, or in the explanation of that. And the explanation of that, Al-Madrasa al-Ashrafiyya. Likewise, in Nawawi, he was the head of that particular school. It was a school of Hadith, famous, a school of Hadith in Dimashq. وَكَانَ لَا يُضَيُّعُ شَيْئًا مِّنْ أَوْقَاتِهِ Ibn Kathir, he said about him, he did not ever waste any of his time. وَكَانَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ لِلْمُلُوكِ وَغَيْرِهِمْ And he used to order the good and prohibit the evil with the kings and other than them. It's mentioned as has preceded with regards to the king, he would write to them, and this is the proper manner. And in order to order them and prohibit them, to write to them or to go to them directly. And likewise, this was mentioned as well, that he went to some of them directly and gave them advice sincerely, yani directly. And this is the proper methodology and manner. Now we come to the wafat of Al-Hafidh al-Nawawi rahimahullah. Tuwfiya fi laylati arba'in wa ishreena min rajabin. في سنة 76 و600 بنوى ودفن هناك رحمه الله تعالى وعفى عنا وعنه And this is from the statement of Ibn Kathir رحمه الله that he died on the night of the 23rd of Rajab in the year 676 in Nawa and he was buried there. May Allah have mercy on him and may Allah pardon us and pardon him. And this is from the benefits of Ibn Kathir رحمه الله تعالى. With regards to the Tasanif, the authored works that Nawawi he had, rahimahullah ta'ala, there are many. There are literally many, a number of them. And I will mention now just the most famous and likewise the most important from them. And from that, the first one, Al-Minhaj, Sharh Sahih Muslim Ibn Al-Hajjaj. And he is one of the greatest explanations of Sahih Muslim. It's called Al-Minhaj. Sharhu Sahihi Muslim Ibn Al-Hajjaj. And likewise, he has another work which is also very famous called Riyad al-Salihin, the Gardens of the Righteous, which is well known. All of these works here, most of them are well known to all of us, rather well known to all of the Muslims everywhere. Rather, there's probably not a home, except that at least this book here is there. At least this book here, Riyad al-Salihin, there's probably not a home or a masjid, except that book is found there. A Muslim home, or a masjid, except that book, Riyad al-Salihin, is found there. If it's not read there and taught there, and the likes like this. Even to the extent that Shaykh Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, in his explanation of Riyad al-Salihin, and the introduction, or in the beginning, he says, أَتَمَنَّ أَن يُكُونَ لِي كِتَابٌ مِثْلَ هَذَا And he said, I wish I had a book like this. So I wish I could have a book like this, that every Muslim knows about this book. Every Muslim has heard about this book or benefited from this book. Every masjid, almost every masjid, this book is found there. And everyone is aware of this. And that this is something that Allah has written acceptance for. And that this is something that is well known. Riyad al-Salihin is from the best of the books with regards to heart softeners and manners and etiquettes. Likewise, it's a book of manners and etiquettes, clarifying the proper manners and etiquettes that are legislated, found in the Quran and the Sunnah, beginning with Ikhlas and likewise with Sidq and with Tawbah, and also mentioning the prohibitions and the commandments and the prohibitions in great detail. A very beneficial book. So likewise in Arba'een al-Nawawiyyah, this is also a very famous work. Many of you probably have memorized this work, Al-Arba'een al-Nawawiyyah, the 40 Hadith of An-Nawawi. He's the one who has authored that. Likewise, he has a work called Irshad, Tulab al-Haqa'iq ila Ma'rifati Sunani Khayl al-Khalaq. And this is a book about Mustalah Hadith, and it was rather large. And after that, he went and summarized that book. And another book called At-Taqrib wa At-Taysir li Ma'rifati Sunan al-Bashir wal-Nadhir. And this book here is a summarized version of that book, and from the greatest books of Mustalah Hadith. And likewise, after him, As-Suyuti has come and explained that, fi tadrib al-rawi, fi sharhi taqrib al-nawawi. And this is one of the most referred to works of Mustalah Hadith. It's the book that is the syllabus in the faculty of Hadith in Medina. And this is for Mustalah Hadith, that's the syllabus you study. And this one book here, which was originally the book of An-Nawawi rahimahullah. Likewise, he has another book called Al-Adhkar. And then he has another book called Tahdhib al-Asma'i wal-Lughat. And he has another book called Al-Majmu' Sharh Al-Muhadhab, which is where this work here has come from, has come from. And he has a number of other works, likewise. Rahimahullahu ta'ala. Rahimahullahu ta'ala. After that, we discuss an important topic. And this is with regards to Aqidah. Al-Hafidh al-Nawawi. Rahimahullahu ta'ala. The creed. The creed of al-Nawawi. Rahimahullahu ta'ala. The people of knowledge have clarified that after studying and reviewing his works in detail, specifically Sahih Muslim, or the explanation of Sahih Muslim, that there are particular places in the likes of that work and other works as well, where Al-Hafidh al-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala, he had fallen into error, particularly with regards to affairs of creed and misinterpreting some of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, following the methodology of the Asha'irah in certain issues, not in every issue, and not in every any case, but this was the affair. This is something that has been clarified and mentioned. And whenever the people of knowledge benefit from these works, they will clarify that this particular issue here, this is a mistake and an error. This particular issue here is a mistake and an error. So there are mistakes and errors, and specifically with regards to ta'wil al-sifat, misinterpreting the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he had fallen into, rahimahullah. But what has been mentioned about him and that which has been clarified is that in the end of his life, rahimahullah ta'ala, he authored another work, just maybe 5 months before he died. He authored another work, a short work with regards to the affairs of creed. And he mentioned in that work specifically his position and his methodology with regards to his belief in the attributes and the names and attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal, believing them as in the manner that they have come without denying them, or without distorting the meaning, or without changing them, or without misinterpreting them in the manner and that manner like this, believing in the proper methodology and way, and he has clarified that. And he has clarified that. So he has a work, another book that he has, rahimahullah, it's called Juz'un fi dhikri i'tiqad al-salaf fi al-harfi wal-aswat. The book with regards to mentioning the creed of the salaf, with regards to the letters and the sounds, meaning any of the belief with regards to the attribute of speech, the speech of Allah specifically. The speech of Allah specifically. Just to mention, An-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala, he didn't misinterpret every attribute. He didn't misinterpret any every situation, but he fell into this affair. He fell into this affair. But even then, the people of knowledge, they mentioned that he was a mujtahid, and he was striving in these issues, and there were mistakes that he had. But he was not striving to follow upon that way. And he was not looking to follow upon that way or to be upon the way of misguidance, but he had erred in these particular issues. In any case, the point now is that in the end of his life, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he retracted that error and he clarified this affair. And from the benefits of our Shaykh, Shaykh Abdul Muhsin, hafidhahullahu ta'ala, he has written a brief maqala, yani a brief treatise about this issue specifically. And I summarize some benefits from here. So it's mentioned that he died in the year 676. He died in the year 676. And in the same year, what month was that? Rajab, in the month of Rajab. In the same year, in Rabi' al-Awwal, in 676, it mentioned that in this work here, that he finished on this day. So, Shaykh Abdul Muhsin, he mentioned that al-mudda bayna al-intihai min ta'rifi al-kitab wa wafatihi taqillu an khamsati ashhur. That the time between him authoring this work and his death, rahimahullah, is less than 5 months. So this is an indication that he repented from that way and those misinterpretations of those particular sifat. So the Shaykh, he says now, وَذَلِكَ يُوَضِّحُ أَنَّ مُعْتَقَدَهُ فِي آخِرِ حَيَاتِهِ هُوَ مَا عَلَيْهِ السَّلَفُ مِنْ إِثْبَاتِ الصِّفَاتِ مِنْ غَيْرِ تَشْبِيهٍ أَوْ تَأْوِيلٍ أَوْ تَعْطِيلٍ وَأَنَّ مَا جَاءَ فِي كُتُبِهِ مِنَ التَّأْوِيلِ قَدْ رَجَعَ عَنْهُ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ وَغَفَرَ لَهُ. So this clarifies now that his creed in the end of his life, rahimahullah, was according to the creed of the Salaf. And that is to affirm the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jalla without resembling them to the creation, or without misinterpreting them, and without misinterpreting them nor denying them. And that which has come in his previous books from the misinterpretation of those attributes, this is something that he had retracted from and he had repented from. May Allah have mercy on him and may Allah forgive him. This particular benefit here can be found online. It's a maqala li Shaykh Abdul Muhsin hafidhahullah ta'ala called Bayanu Salamati al-Hafidhaini al-Nawawi wa al-Asqalani min Aqaid al-Mutakallimin من أقائد المتكلمين. The clarification of the fact that the two Hafidh, the Nawawi وابن حجر العسقلاني, that they are safe and free from the creed of the متكلمين. يعني the أشاعرة and the متزلة and the ماتوريدية and the likes like them. The متكلمون, يعني they're like the people of philosophy who misinterpret the text according to their desires and whims and according to their intelligences. So he clarified not only that Nawawi likewise retracted, but also Ibn Hajar, because a similar issue was mentioned with regards to Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahimahullah ta'ala as well. So whoever wants any greater detail with regards to that, he can find that in this particular beneficial treatise of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin hafidhahullah ta'ala. There's great benefit with regards to studying the likes of the biographies of the scholars and the people of knowledge. And from that, this issue here that we see, the first and foremost, the diligence of An-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala to strive to learn and to seek knowledge. And then after that, to teach and to benefit the people. And then after that, likewise, his efforts. And this is something that is apparent, and Allah knows best, but from the signs that he was sincere and that he was truthful, is that his works that have been accepted until this day. Riyadh al-Salihin is a book that's well known, that no one has doubt about the benefit of that and the goodness of that. Whether many people, they're trying to memorize that and to learn that and to teach that. And these days, right now, Sheikh Abdul Razak is teaching that in the Prophet's Masjid, hafidhahullah ta'ala. So, and likewise, the 40 hadith of An-Nawawi. And all of us were aware of these affairs. Many of us have memorized all of them or some of them, and have benefited from them. And this particular work here is considered the first work that a student of knowledge will memorize. Somebody who wants to learn about hadith, the first text he will be guided to memorize is the 40 hadith of An-Nawawi. Is the 40 hadith of An-Nawawi, rahimahullah. And the people of knowledge, they mentioned likewise, if a person, he's studying fiqh, and he is also memorizing hadith, and studying the rulings of jurisprudence and the halal and the haram, along with that, along with memorizing, for example, Umdat al-Ahkam or Bulugh al-Maram, he will also memorize as well, along with that, Riyadh al-Salihin. And this is to balance his affair. Because many times a person, if he's focused on rulings and halal and haram and the different situations and circumstances, and whenever this is permissible and not permissible, and this is allowed and not allowed, and to going into all these details, sometimes a person, he will lose focus. And maybe this is, sometimes his heart will become hard from studying this knowledge. So along with that, it's also advised to memorize and to study Riyadh al-Salihin to soften the heart, to balance that affair, to remember the hereafter and the promise of Allah Azza wa Jal and the threat of the hellfire and the likes like this. And so this is one of those books that's also recommended. The people of knowledge, they'll mention specifically for the students of knowledge this affair. And also has been mentioned that the Riyadh al-Salihin is from those books that are read in the masajid. Many times one of the imams, he will read in the masjid, a hadith or two daily or in certain periods of the day, or even teach the book entirely and the likes like this. So the point is that Allah knows best. But there are great signs, and we have great hope for him, rahimahullah, that his efforts were accepted. Along with that, he's making mistakes. Rather, he made mistakes in some of the most critical areas with regards to the sifat of Allah Azza wa Jal and the tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal. But along with that, we see that in the end of his life, it's clarified that he repented. Even some of the people who were unaware of the likes of this particular work, and this work maybe was not found or was not printed until the later generations. Maybe some of the scholars before, like Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah, wallahu alam, he was not aware of this particular work. And even along with that, he pardoned An-Nawawi and mentioned that those were errors and that we avoid them, but he had great good with him. And he was not seeking to fall into misguidance and the likes like this. It was something that he had fell into and it was a mistake. And in general, the people of knowledge, excused him for that. But even to see better than that, is that he repented from that at the end of his life. And this is likewise a sign that the person who is truthful with Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah will give him a good ending. The one who is truthful with Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah will give him a good ending. Another benefit that we want to learn here is something that is mentioned by Shaykh Abdul Rahman ibn Yahya al-Mu'allimi, rahimahullah ta'ala al-Yamani. He died in the year 1386. And he from the great scholars of hadith of our era, and he from al-Yemen, al-Mu'allimi. So many of the books of hadith especially with regards to Maslada Hadith, or even more specific with regards to Jarh wa Ta'dil, those who checked those, and those who have clarified the authenticity of those, and those have brought them into printed form, is Al-Mu'allimi, Rahimahullahu Ta'ala Al-Yamani. Rahimahullahu Ta'ala, he has great, great works in defending the Sunnah, and clarifying falsehood, and refuting the people of desires, and the likes like this. He has a work called Rafu Al-Ishtibah. Rafu Al-Ishtibah. This is a summarized title of that particular work. In this work, he says, "Wa'lam anna Allah Ta'ala qad yuqi'u ba'd al-mukhlisina fi shay'in min al-khata'i ibtila'an li ghayrihi." He said, "You must know, may Allah have mercy on you, that indeed Allah, He may cause some of those people who are sincere, that Allah may cause some of those people who are sincere to fall into error and to fall into mistake in order to test others." وَاعْلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى قَدْ يُوقِعُ بَعْضَ الْمُخْلِصِينَ فِي شَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَطَأِ ابْتِلَاءً لِغَيْرِهِ. You must know, may Allah have mercy on you, that Allah may cause some people who are sincere and truthful in their faith and their deen, cause them to fall into mistake in order to test others by way of them. أَيَتَّبِعُونَ الْحَقَّ وَيَدَعُونَ قَوْلَهُ أَمْ يَغْتَرُّونَ بِفَضْلِهِ وَجَلَالَتِهِ. Will they follow the truth and leave his statement, or will they be deceived and follow his statement instead of the truth, and he based upon his virtue and based upon his honor? So he says, وَهُوَ مَعْذُورٌ بَالْمَأْجُورِ. That individual there himself, he is excused, rather he has a reward. لِجْتِهَادِهِ وَقَصْدِهِ الْخَيْرِ. Because of his striving and his effort that he had made, and the fact that he's intending goodness, he's not intending to make a mistake. For example, he's not intending to follow the way of the Asha'ira. And this is clarified likewise because he didn't follow their way in every aspect. And he fell into that issue. He fell into some ta'wilat. He didn't fall into their methodology entirely, and the likes like this. So, this is a case here. So because of his good intention, because of his efforts and striving, then he will be excused, whether he will have a reward. لِجْتِهَادِهِ وَقَصْدِهِ الْخَيْرِ وَعَدَمِ تَقْصِيرِهِ. Because of his striving and his effort and his good intention, and because he was not falling short in that. He took his best effort. And then in the end, he was not given success in this particular issue. So this person here is excused, rather he has a reward. Now he mentions, وَلَكِنْ مَنْ تَبِعَهُ مُقْتَرًّا بِعَظَمَتِهِ بِدُونِ الْتِفَاتٍ إِلَى الْحُجَزِ إِلَى الْحُجَجِ الْحَقِيقِيَّةِ من كتاب الله تعالى وسنة رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم فلا يكون معذورا بل هو على خطر عظيم. He said, as for the one who follows him in deception or deceived by his greatness, following him because of his greatness, and not even having concern or looking to the reality of the evidences and the proofs from the Book of Allah and from the Sunnah of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, then he's not excused. He's not excused. Rather, he is in great danger. Rather, he is in great danger. He mentioned a number of examples of this, in the lifetime of the companions after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But we summarize now, with regards to this affair. So this is something that's known, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He may cause somebody to fall into error in order to test others. From the greatest examples that he mentioned was the issue of Fatima radiallahu anha after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She came to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhuma, and she asked for her inheritance. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he said, the prophets, they do not leave any inheritance behind. And he refused to give her anything. And if this is a great trial for him. And imagine this situation and circumstance. She was unaware of the narration. Or the Aisha radiallahu anha, she was one of the ones who narrated the narration. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, نَحْنُ مَعَشُ الْأَنْبِيَا لَا نُورَثْ مَا تَرَكْنَاهُ فُهُوَ صَدِقَةً مَا تَرَكْنَاهُ فُهُوَ صَدِقَةً. Oh, us prophets, we do not leave any inheritance. That which we leave any from the wealth. That which we leave behind is charity. Is charity. The inheritance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is knowledge. So Fatima radiallahu anha, she was unaware of this, and she came to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu seeking her portion of her inheritance. But he mentioned that she does not have that. So he was not deceived or tricked or the lie in falling and giving into what she mentioned, rather he held fast to that. And he refused that. And he did not give her any portion because she did not deserve that. And he clarified that. And he stood firm. Radiallahu anhu. And there are other examples he mentioned for those who want to reference this affair. They can find this in this work here. So the point is now that sometimes somebody who is sincere and truthful, he might fall into error in order to test others. in order to test others. And we see that in these days. Maybe one of the people of knowledge will say something about another one. And then in reality, maybe he's not right. And then all of the people will follow him. All the people follow, even some of them, they know that he's not right. And they'll follow him anyways. They'll follow him anyways. And because they're afraid that somebody will talk about them, or say something about them, or not like them anymore, or consider them not to be Salafi. And like people can make you Salafi in the first place. And Salafi is a creed and a belief and a methodology. It's the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions. And if a person, he believes that and he abides by that and follows that, then this is his description and he's truthful. And anybody who does not believe that, or he does not abide by that and follow that, even if he ascribed to it, and even if he followed the people that ascribed him to it, he will not be from that. Until he is upon that inwardly and outwardly, a statement and creed and belief and action and conduct. It's the way of life, the way of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions. So the point is now to know these affairs. To know these affairs and to not look at the greatness of the one who is making the statement, but to look at the statement itself. And that you weigh up the men with the truth. Nam al-haq la yurafu bil-rijal. Al-rijal yurafuna bil-haq. The people of knowledge, they will say the likes of this. The men, the truth is not known by the men, but the men are known by way of the truth. The men are known by way of the truth. The people of truth are known by them holding fast to the truth and the clarity that they're upon, and their manners and their conduct and their action and their statement and their deed. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he clarified in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr radiyallahu anhu, radiyallahu anhuma, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, إِذَا حَكَمَ الْحَاكِمُ فَاجْتَهَدَ ثُمَّ أَصَابَ فَلَهُ أَجْرًا وَإِذَا حَكَمَ فَاجْتَهَدَ ثُمَّ أَخْطَأَ فَلَهُ أَجْرٌ. That the person of knowledge, the ruler, the one who's giving the judgment, if he strives and he reaches the truth, then he has two rewards. And if he strives and he makes a mistake, then he has one reward. The hadith is mutafiqun alayhi. The one who's giving a judgment and a ruling on a particular issue, and creed or in belief or methodology or in halal and haram or about a person, and he strives and he reaches the truth, he has two rewards. And if he strives and he makes a mistake, he has one reward. One reward. Likewise, it has been narrated by Salama radiallahu anha that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنَّكُمْ تَخْتَصِمُونَ إِلَيَّ وَلَعَلَى بَعْضَكُمْ أَنْ يَكُونَ أَلْهَنَا بِحُجَّتِهِ مِنْ بَعْضٍ فَأَقْضِي لَهُ عَلَى نَحْوٍ مِمَّا أَسْمَعُ مِنْهُ فَمَنْ قَطَعْتُ لَهُ مِنْ حَقِّ أَخِيهِ شَيْئًا فَلَا يَأْخُذْهُ فَإِنَّمَا أَخْطَأُ لَهُ بِهِ مِنَ النَّارِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, indeed, you come to me disputing amongst yourselves, yani in quarrels amongst yourselves. And maybe one of you is more eloquent in his speech than the other. Maybe one of you is able to present the issues in a better manner. And sometimes people, they're able to speak fluently and they're able to speak clearly and they can convince somebody and it's not true and it's not correct. Somebody may be wrong, but he's able to make it appear that he's right. And somebody may be right and he's able to make it appear that he's wrong. And with his speech and with his knowledge of these affairs, and he will twist the issues like this and he will make it unclear for somebody. And who does not have a knowledge of the background of this issue. So this is the case. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you come to me disputing, well maybe some of you are more eloquent in his speech than others. So therefore I will judge according to what I hear. And if one of you, if I judge for one of you, for the right of his brother, then he should not take it, because I'm only judging for him and giving him a piece of the hellfire. A piece of the hellfire. So the benefits from this is to know that the ruling and the judgment is based upon what is apparent. The one who's giving the judge, he will look at what is apparent to him and he'll judge upon that, and then he has fulfilled his right. He has fulfilled his right. And this is what is upon him, to judge upon what he sees clearly. And this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he did. Al-Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah, he mentioned about this. فِيهِ دِلَالَةٌ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ الْأُمَّةَ إِنَّمَا كُلِّفُوا الْقَضَاءَ عَلَى الظَّاهِرِ وَفِيهِ أَنَّ قَضَاءَ الْقَاضِي لَا يُحَرِّمُ حَلَالًا وَلَا يُحِلُّ حَرَامًا. That in this narration here, we see that what is incumbent is for the ummah to judge according to what is apparent. What is apparent, not according to what is in the hidden affairs. And that the rule of the judge or the imam or the ruler and the likes does not change something that's haram. If it's halal, it doesn't change haram. And if it's haram, it doesn't change halal. Meaning if somebody deceived and tricked the situation, for example, a woman, she said, or a man, he said, no, I didn't say I divorced him 3 times. I only said divorce 2 times. The third time I was not really saying it, I didn't intend it. But he knows in his heart he's lying. So he'll mention it to the judge or to the imam, and the imam will judge based upon what is apparent. So the one who takes that ruling falsely upon his desires, then he's threatened with the fire. So the likes like this is the case. That sometimes a person, he'll have the ability to clarify things. And maybe he'll use that to deceive the people. And even sometimes from the best of them. And then they will judge based upon that. And they will judge based upon that. والله المستعان هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم